This morning, I thought it's been just about a year since I gave a message on our vision for 2020. And that message came as a result of our engaging One Vision Consulting Group. And so I felt like it's time for an update on what's been taking place at First Free in the last 12 months. Some of you might say, it doesn't seem like much has been happening, but quite a bit has been happening. And so let's share. I'll start with the introduction I gave about a year ago. And when I shared that in March 2004, I traveled from Minnesota to meet with the search committee and ministry board here at First Free. And at that time, I shared a vision for making disciples and multiplying disciple makers with the ministry leaders and with the search committee. And then I was called to come at First Free in and I came in July of 2004. But last fall, I acknowledged that I had failed as pastor in the decade prior to lead in fulfilling that disciple-making vision that I outlined for the ministry leaders back in 2004. Because since the first day of my as pastor at First Free on July the 17th in 2004, we had been distracted by disruptions, disrupted by divisions, and divided by distractions. And we perpetuated a decade of decline. In June of 2015, the leadership of First Free engaged the services of One Vision Consulting, which surveyed the congregation, gathered focus groups and listened to them, and as a result, put forward an action plan. And the action plan spoke to the leadership as a whole, but it also addressed things to me. And I personally was challenged to sharpen my preaching, to focus on building relationships, and to lead boldly. And when it came to leading boldly, I was specifically challenged to give leadership by proposing a bold vision for First Free. And in developing that vision, the Lord reminded me of my initial vision for First Free, that is to make disciples and multiply disciple makers. Well, your elders have been taking the lead in fulfilling Vision 2020 by going first. And we say it in the terms of Vision 2020 because if we go back a year, that was 5 years out. And oftentimes when we establish a vision, we overestimate what we can accomplish in 1 year. And one of my mentors reminded me that don't overestimate what you can do in 1 year, but on the other hand, don't underestimate what you can accomplish in five. And all of that said, we do so, we engage the vision of 2020, remembering three statements in Scripture. Jesus saying to his disciples, apart from me, you can do. Yeah. And the Apostle Paul saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then we have the Apostle Paul again, who offers up the doxology now to him who's able to do, exceeding abundantly more than we can ask or imagine according to his power at work within us. According to his power at work within us corporately. So entering into 2016, the elders committed themselves to going first in being model disciples, in growing disciples, that meaning coming alongside a believer and mentoring them in the way of a Christ follower, and then making disciples of all nations, beginning with their neighbors. And so we want to give a report on the progress. Now, one encouraging sign, as I mentioned, we've been as a church in a decline, and that decline goes back to 1999. From 1999 through 2015, every year there'd been a decline in average Sunday morning attendance at First Free. Now, I share with you an encouraging sign. It looks like 2016 will be the first year since 1999 that Sunday morning attendance will increase, ending 17 years of decline. Yeah. That is reason to give thanks. Now, you can ensure that by being present on Sunday morning for the next 8 weeks. I mean, if you decide not to be here, it'll change the statistics. But more importantly, it's not the measure of, in the words of one esteemed pastor, more important than butts in the seat are disciples that are being made. That we are engaged in becoming a church that is engaged in disciple making. And so this morning, I would say you can help fulfill Vision 2020 by embracing three resolutions. These are the same three resolutions that I mentioned almost a year ago in helping fulfill the vision, embracing three resolutions. But today, as we review these three resolutions, we also report on the progress. As a word of reminder, the first resolution is this. You can help fulfill Vision 2020, that of making disciples and multiplying disciple makers by resolving, first of all, to be a disciple. To be a disciple. Our goal is that every member of First Free would become a vital Christ follower. And the scripture outlines four marks of a disciple. Now, actually, there may be more than four marks, but there are four places in Scripture, three of them in the Gospel of John, one of them that Peter notes in his letter, where the phrase is used, "and so prove to be my disciple." And so prove to be my disciple. Or in the words of Peter, your faith is proven genuine by testing, in 1 Peter. So what are the marks of a disciple, of a vital Christ follower? The vital Christ follower's life is marked by faith. It's Peter who records in 1 Peter at verses 6 and 7. In all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you've had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that to prove the genuineness of your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even when refined by fire, but may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, the leadership of the church faces a current test. You know, we're not going to grow in faith personally or corporately unless we're in the midst of a test. Now, we didn't, you know, some of us, when we trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we trusted him so that we would no longer face tests in life. How many of you agree? You know, that's me. You know, I didn't become a Christian so that I'd face trouble. I became a Christian so I'd know deliverance and joy and peace and comfort and the pursuit of happiness. Oh, that's the Bill of Rights. And Jesus and God's Word consistently declares that if I'm going to grow in faith, I'm going to need to be tested, that it's in the midst of the test that I grow in faith. So corporately right now, and for your leadership, the current test is financial. It's a general fund deficit. Now, the good news is this. For the first 7 months of this year, from January to July, our giving exceeded giving in 2015 by over 2%. But in the past 3 months, our general fund deficit has grown dramatically, so that in terms of general fund budget, we're about $40,000 behind our need to meet budget. Now, that doesn't mean despair. We still have about $200,000 in the bank. But it is a challenge, and leaders and pastors can either act in fear and panic, or they can act in faith. And we need to learn to what? Act in faith, yeah. Just like you do at home when you're facing a financial need. So pray for your elders as they lead by exercising faith in facing this challenge. Now, recent history reminds us to trust God. Duh. How many of you need to be reminded from time to time to trust God? Yeah. Every day. Recent history reminds us as leaders to trust God. Back in at the end of June, we were sitting in this room on a Sunday morning when the air conditioning went out. And we were sweating. And it wasn't because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I wish it had been true. It was because the AC had gone off. And as the numbers came in, you know, we finally settled on a course of action that would cost about $55,000 to replace the air conditioning in this room and in our recording room and tech room to keep our servers cool and so forth. But we had to trust God. Now, God had already begun to provide for that need decades ago. Did you know that? God had already begun to provide for that need decades ago. This spring, we learned from a lawyer that called and said that the estate of Elzina Oakberg is being settled, and she has bequested 10% of her estate to First Free. Actually, she gave 2 tithes to First Free in her bequest. And so, but the 10% that was designated to First Free in general, we put into the capital campaign fund for upgrading heating, AC, and some other things that are on the list that are part of the future things we need to do operations-wise. And then the AC went out. And then we're like, oh, I guess God began to provide. On October 2nd, we had a special offering. And since October 2nd, we've had approaching 85% of the needed $20,000 to meet that need. And as a bonus, Mid-America Energy is going to throw in some rebates. Sweet. So the sum total is we may have some money left over in capital campaign fund for the air conditioning in the fellowship hall, because it's 40 plus years old too. So anyway, God has demonstrated in this year that he knew our need and has provided for the need. And so we need to be reminded as leaders and as a congregation that he knows our need and will provide our need. And he does so through the generosity of his people and you have been a generous people, providing nearly $17,000 towards the air conditioning. And you provided $2,600 or $2,700 in purchasing pies at the auction for Pie for Pie, which enabled us to buy a Swahili Bible and an English Bible for 120 new students coming into the Tanner School for girls in Pai, Tanzania. And we'll have more opportunities this fall to show our generosity. Operation Christmas Child will be packing shoe boxes on November 11th. And on November 13th, that Sunday, we'll have a special offering to help pay for the shipping of those boxes. WDLM was with us on Friday morning from 6 to 9, Ken and Deb's show, broadcast live here at First Free. And those who had gathered to pack boxes packed over 400 boxes that morning. Yeah. And you as a people demonstrate year after year that when given an opportunity to be generous, you are generous. Whether it's Operation Christmas Child, air conditioning, Emmanuel's Child is coming up in the month of November, where in the month of November we'll set aside funds through your giving to provide Christmas and an evangelistic outreach in Ryazan, Russia, for the children of that oblast, and enable Hope Church and the other churches of that region to put on an evangelistic outreach for children. Missionary Christmas gifts are coming up in the month of November too, and that's a special offering. And you also, year after year, provide year-end giving that helps eliminate or greatly reduce our deficit. So we look to you again in October, November, December to help us through your generous giving to eliminate the deficit. And God's word for me as pastor and for our leaders, our elders, as they face this test is, don't worry about it. I don't think that's the way Jesus said it, but someone else might say, don't worry about it. We can translate or retranslate Matthew 6, 31 through 33 to our need. So don't worry, saying, what shall we do? Or where will the money come from? For the pagans, unbelievers worry and run after the security of money. And your heavenly Father knows what? Your need. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all your needs will be met. So we need to exercise faith to demonstrate, to prove our faith genuine in the midst of a test. The other marks I'm not going to dwell on this morning, we'll hit them again as we go through Vision 2020 from year to year. But our life should be marked by obedience. In John 8, verse 31, Jesus says to those who have believed in him, if you hold to my teaching, if you obey my word, you are really, or you are truly, my disciples. Jesus says about the mark of love in the life of a Christ follower, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So turn to the person next to you and say, I love you in Christ. Yeah. Now, I noticed that, you know, there are four types of love in the Bible. There's agape love, God's love for us. There is phileo love, God's love for brothers, sisters in Christ. And then there is eros love, that's passion. I noticed some of our husbands and wives were looking at each other with Google eyes there. I was talking about phileo love, you know. But between husband and wives, it's okay to have eros. That's good. That's good. The Bible wants us to love our wives. and husbands. So there you go. We're to be marked by love. Oh, and the scripture also says, love your enemy. Whoa! I thought we're just to love each other. No, love your neighbor, love your enemy. That puts about everybody in the circle. Our lives are to be marked by fruitfulness as a mark of our following Christ. John 15:8, Jesus says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, I find that an intriguing metaphor, because in creation, God created every fruit-bearing tree with fruit that had seeds in it, so that when those seeds in its prepackaged fruit fell to the ground, they would multiply. There would be not only more fruit, there'd be another fruit tree that would bear fruit, each according to Genesis 1, according to its kind. Now Jesus is saying, I want you to bear fruit and shall prove yourselves to be my disciples. In other words, he's saying is, I want you to reproduce after my kind. Reproduce after my kind. In the creation mandate, God created man and woman, and he commanded them to be fruitful, multiply, and populate the earth. That's Genesis 1:27-28. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. In the new creation mandate, when God makes men and women new creatures in Christ, he commands them to be fruitful, multiply, and populate heaven. So that in Revelation, we see a picture of heaven. Revelation 5 and in Revelation chapter 7, we find a picture of heaven where men and women of every nation, tongue, tribe, and people are gathered around the throne and worshiping God, worshiping the Lamb that was slain as their Savior. Jesus says in John 15, you did not choose me, I chose you, and I've appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain, that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So first resolution, resolve to be a disciple yourself, exercising faith in God, living in obedience to God's word, showing love for each other, and laboring to bear fruit for eternity. Second resolution, you can help fulfill Vision 2020 by resolving to grow a disciple. The Apostle Paul commands in his first letter to Thessalonica two commands for the growth of a disciple. He says in chapter 5, verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Two commands, encourage one another. It's an imperative in the present active tense, so it means to keep on encouraging. But the verb parakaleo means to come alongside. To come alongside for the purpose of encouraging, comforting, instructing, exhorting, admonishing, depending on what's needed. We're called to continually come alongside each other. And then secondly, build each other up. Again, it's a present active imperative, meaning continually or keep on building up, strengthening, establishing each other in Christ, in your faith, so that we promote growth in Christian faith, love, hope, wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, and blessedness. Resolve to be one who comes alongside to grow a disciple in 2017, to come alongside another believer to encourage and comfort and instruct in order to promote growth in Christian faith, hope, and love. Now, last October, Jim Zeal and I attended the Great Lakes District Conference, which we will be attending Monday and Tuesday in Chicago. Now, last year. So Jim and Tom, I'll say P. Tom for Pastor Tom since we have a lot of Toms in the church. Jim and Tom attended a workshop, 2-day workshop on making or transitioning your church to a disciple-making culture. Huh. And so God said, this is what you're to do for the next 5 years. Well, I'd say for the rest of your existence, but it's our vision for 2020. And it began with Jim Zeal, who's an elder. Jim, where are you? Jim's in the back. Jim's one of our elders. So it began with Pastor and one of our elders, and we were coached by the navigator rep for our region in the use of this tool, Next Steps. And Next Steps, as we have modified it for First Free, is a tool for establishing believers and equipping disciple makers. Establishing believers and equipping disciple makers. It's a very basic tool in terms of introducing someone to the things of the faith, but that's where you start. And so Jim and I engaged in that, and we were coached in it. And then we, as in terms of our vision, leaders going first in growing others as disciples, Jim and I met with the elders, and I met with the staff, and took them through Next Steps. So we went from 2 to 11 elders and staff. So first generation, 2, second generation, 11. Now the elders and staff have finished going through that together and are now meeting with others. And there are now 22 engaged in Next Step training. Third generation. We now have gone to the fourth generation. Some who have been part of the third generation are now meeting with others. So there are 3 to 4 in the fourth generation. Yeah. Fourth gen. Leave it at that. So from January through October, we've gone through 3 generations and now are starting a 4th generation. If in the coming year we can get to the 6th generation, what's going to happen? We're going to go to 44, to 88, to what? 176 or 1. Well, hard to write and do math at the same time. So never underestimate what can be accomplished in 5 years. And don't overestimate what can be accomplished in 1. There is an exponential power or potential in equipping our people in the disciplines of the faith. So as I go through this as a disciple, I'm being reminded of what it is to be loved by God. I'm being reminded what it is to spend time in His Word and to pray and to memorize Scripture and to put my faith story in written form so that I could share it in 3 to 4 minutes with another person. And it equips me to present the gospel. And in this version of it, we use the bridge. One verse evangelism. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Through whom? Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we're being, as disciples, we're reminded and encouraged in the disciplines of the faith. Very basic. Our hope is for a new believer or a young believer that they would spend 7 minutes with God 7 days a week. So, okay, for a new believer or a young believer, that sounds enormous. For some of you, it's like, oh, well, I by the time my 7 minutes is up, it's been an hour. But that's not everybody. So we start with the beginning, at the beginning, and make it achievable for all. So I am encouraged and reminded as a disciple in going through this, but then I am also equipped as a disciple maker to come alongside a young believer or another believer or a new believer to help them grow in their faith. One tool, that's all. And we're using it. In the future, we'll use some other tools. But one-on-one, we've been multiplying. And your elders are going first in this. So they went through it, and now they're taking others through it. They're walking in obedience. They're going first as leaders. And the fruit will be in the next 2 to 3 years. And what happens in this congregation as people are vital in their faith and equipped to come alongside someone else. That's what's been happening in growing a disciple, one-on-one. In January of 2017, we're going to continue the one-on-one discipling and equipping using Next Steps. But in January of 2017, the elders are going to launch a strategic small group ministry. Your elders met with Nate Ryder, our missionary, with PAWS to Japan. And we met with him on August the 20th to learn from his experience with PAWS what a strategic, intentional, disciple-making small groups would look like. Nate has experienced disciple-making small groups in two cultures. In Brazil, in Santarém, where disciple-making small groups have multiplied up and down the Amazon basin. And churches have been planted, and groups have multiplied. And then PAWS has sent him now to Tokyo, Japan, where he has partnered with other missionaries there to launch a small group disciple-making ministry. And they're going to be planting a church in Tokyo. But it's already up and running. So we met with him and we learned from him their model. What was it that has been successful in Brazil and the Amazon Basin is now successful in Tokyo? It seems like there might be some transferable concepts there. And so we're going to start with a model group with the pastor as the leader. And then, or this is our initial thought of it, is we'll have 3 elders of our 6 And then each elder will choose an apprentice. And we're wanting at this point to focus on pastor, elder, apprentice. So that after a period of 3, 4, 6 months, when we're ready, we will divide. And elder and apprentice will start a group. Elder and apprentice will start a group. Elder and apprentice will start a group. Pastor and another. Pastor might do it with the other three elders and apprentices. And same multiplication factor. And the focus is going to be on being a vital Christ follower and outreach. The second generation of these groups, the first one of them is all believers, elders and apprentice. The second generation will follow the form of pause, and that will be that each member of the group will identify a neighbor. So it'll be leader, believer, and then a neighbor. Relationally connected. Someone in your sphere of influence that you're going to invite to small group. Not the Sunday morning. Invite them to small group. And as they study the scriptures together with you, we trust that they will respond to the gospel. And then you will be equipped one-on-one to mentor them. Again, we can't overestimate what we can accomplish in 1 year, but we should never underestimate what we can accomplish in five. That's where we are right now in terms of growing disciples. And finally, you can help fulfill Vision 2020 by resolving to make a disciple. By resolving to make a disciple. It's all about making disciples and multiplying disciple makers. Jesus said, his first command to the disciples, it came along the seashore, along Galilee. Jesus said to Peter and James and John, follow me. And what? I'll make you fishers of men. And then, as he has his last moments with them before his ascension, after his crucifixion, after his resurrection, as he is with them, he gives them the Great Commission again. Go and make disciples of every people group. Of the nations, of the ethnos, of every people group. Go and make disciples. Our goal is to see our congregation equipped to go and make disciples. The simple strategy, you don't have to wait 3 years to employ it. The simple strategy is that you pray for unbelievers, that you love on your neighbor, that you share your faith with your neighbor, and that this journey in Next Steps will help equip you to do so. And by the next year, almost all of us will be equipped to do so if we say yes to being part of the disciple-making movement. But this morning, annually, we fill this crock with white roses. And we have white roses down here and over there as well. And the white rose represents that I am going to pray for five people in my sphere of influence, neighbors, coworkers, family members, and friends who need to know Jesus. Now, fall, we put white roses in there, and over the course of the year, we put in pink roses to indicate that we had an opportunity to share our faith with somebody, and then we put red roses in when someone trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to indicate new life in Christ. The number of roses got skewed because when we moved to the gym, I put this crock on a pedestal, and next to it I laid some white roses, some red roses, and pink roses. And then someone who has organizational skills came in every week, and the ones that were loose, they put them in the jar. I was like, oh, that doesn't help. But I would put out new roses so that if someone came forward and put in a pink or a white or a red rose, they'd be there. And I'd come back next week, and they'd all be in the jar. Now, I'm not asking for confession here. I'm just saying that the loose roses are there for a purpose. Don't put them in the crock unless you have committed to praying and sharing and have been a witness to someone coming to know Christ. So anyway, so now we're back in the sanctuary. I think everything will be back to normal. That's scary. So this morning, we're hitting the refresh button. I love that button up there on the corner of my computer that I can just kind of refresh the screen, and it'll take me back to where I was. But we're going to refresh this and give you an opportunity at the close to come and place a white rose and say, I am going to pray for 3, 5, 7 people in my sphere of influence, neighbors, coworkers, family members, and friends. I'm going to be praying for their salvation. And then do so with this in mind, that on November 20th, Sunday, November 20th, we're going to have a Friendship Sunday. We'll have a message for your guests that will include a simple presentation of the gospel. And then after services that day, we're going to have our third annual Thanksgiving dinner, turkey and all the fixings. And so I'm going to fire up my smoker. We'll have some smoked turkey and some roasted turkey, and we'll eat well. But bring a guest that Sunday to share in the service and hear the word, but also to join in the feasting and the Thanksgiving. Also, put on your calendar that December 16th and 17th, as a church, we're partnering with 26 other ministry partners in the Quad Cities to put on One Voice concert at the iWireless. And there will be like a 250 voice choir, and there will be music throughout the evening, as well as a presentation of the gospel that you can invite and bring a guest to, someone you've been praying for. And then you can, if they trust Christ, you can come alongside them with next steps. And you say, well, I haven't been through next steps. And unless I'm asked, I don't know if I'll get through next steps before December 18th. So we're making an exception to our one-on-one approach, a temporary exception to our one-on-one approach. And then and beginning Sunday, November the 1st, we're going to have during the ABF hour training in the use of next steps for those of you who will commit to praying for 3, 5, 7 unbelieving neighbors, coworkers, family members, and friends with the intent of bringing them to the One Voice concert on December 16th or 17th, so that if they respond to the gospel, you are then equipped to begin meeting with them one-on-one. So that we're going to start that on Sunday, the first Sunday in November. That's, I think, the first Sunday in November. So, on your connection card today, and so that we know to plan, if you're going to place a white rose this morning and say, I'm committing to pray for unreached people in my sphere of influence, say white rose on your connection card. You do need to give your name and contact information so we know who you are. But then if you are going to say yes to praying for, inviting, and bringing someone to the One Voice event on December 16th or 17th and want to receive Next Step training, say Next Step training on that too, so that we'll know how many notebooks to have ready for that first Sunday in November during the ABF hour. Finally, I invite you to join the elders for prayer. They are setting aside, have been setting aside, the second and fourth Tuesday evenings each month to pray. Now, we're not all there every time, but two or three of us are there each time, and we pray for the church. And we'd invite you to join us beginning November 8th on the Tuesday night. It's the second Tuesday in November to join us for prayer. Prayer for our church, prayer for the unreached, prayer for something that's just burdening your heart. Let's join and come together to pray on the second and fourth Tuesdays at 6:30. And you can help fulfill Vision 2020 by saying yes to three things: to being a disciple, to being equipped to grow a disciple, and being equipped to make a disciple. Will you say yes to all of those? Let's pray. And during the final worship song, feel free to come forward, grab a white rose, and place it in the crock. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are your people, and we so appreciate you and your love for us in Christ. And our prayer is that you would use us individually and use us corporately to reach our neighbors for Jesus Christ, that we might rejoice in what you have done. In Jesus' name and for his glory, amen. And in a final act of worship, we sing, we place a rose, but we also give our offering. So don't come forward and place a rose until you've given your offering, okay?